Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let's try it again. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All righty. I know some of you are tired and sleepy, but this is not the time to demonstrate that, okay? All righty. I am honored to be back with you here in Windsor. It's a privilege. I bring you greetings from the Lord's Church there in Guatemala. I bring you greetings also to start off with from Byron and Snashana and a couple of other little people that you're going to see in just a little bit. Our team has grown, and you're gonna see them in just a moment. We have not been here for a couple of years, so I'm going to try to catch you up, mainly with a lot of things that's taking place this year, okay? And keeping in mind that some of the things that we do on a year-to-year basis, and so therefore, when I talk about some of the things that's taking place this year, some of those things took place the year before last as well, just at a bigger time as we continue to do it year after year. And also, how many of you have been to Guatemala to visit with us? Okay, let me ask that again. Okay, so I want to make sure that we're seeing this okay together. How many of you have been to Guatemala to visit with us? Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, how many of you have received invitations to come to Guatemala to visit with us? Okay, wait now. Come on now. How many of you have received invitations to come to Guatemala to visit with us? Okay, just a lot just received them and didn't. How many of you have never received an invitation to come to Guatemala to visit with us? Okay, we got a few of you. Okay, and today you're going to join those who have received them and hadn't come. And so, but then I am going to share with you several things that's taken place in Guatemala and then give you some insight of some opportunities where you can come. You can bring this congregation, you can bring your youth group, you can bring your families down to be part of the work firsthand and see what we do on a daily basis. So I tell the people, I'm going to give you opportunities to say you're coming again, okay? And then whenever you don't volunteer to come, it adds, every time I give you an opportunity, it adds 20 minutes onto the sermon this morning. Okay. And you laugh now. Alrighty. Let's go to Guatemala via PowerPoint. God has really blessed the work. We always start off by showing everybody to refresh your memory exactly where we're located. We're Guatemala, Central America, the very first country that you come into to Central America, just right below Mexico. We're a country of about 17, 18 million people, and about 6 million of those people actually live in the capital city area. Guatemala, land-wise, is a very small country, but it has a lot of people. It's a small country, land-wise, about the size of the state of Tennessee. And so not big at all, but yet a whole lot of people, a whole lot of souls. The Lord's Church is relatively small there, but growing. And so the Lord has given us an opportunity to be a part of that. We speak Spanish. That is the native language there, Spanish. A lot of people are trying to learn English. That's become a very important ministry for us as well. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Spanish is the native language. But if you're familiar with Central American history, you might be familiar with a group of people that's called the Maya Indians. Okay, and the Maya Indians, we still have a whole lot of Maya Indians, and they speak 22 different dialects. Yeah, so we have a lot of Maya Indians in Guatemala that do not speak Spanish, do not speak English, and so we have to use their children in order to translate for us because they don't speak Spanish and we can't understand. But that's a little bit of history about Guatemala. Now, I'm going to start off with something some of you already know, most of you already know, and that's Brother Byron and Sister Snashana went through an adoption process. They cannot have children of their own, and so they had a desire to have children. Guatemala has closed the adoption. And you cannot adopt in Guatemala unless you are a citizen of that country or unless you have residence in the country. And so really, really sad because we have orphanages and we have children on the streets and we have all that, but yet nobody can come and adopt anymore because of a lot of corruption that was taking place in the adoption process. So Byron and Shoshana went to work. Of course, Byron and I, we just celebrated 19 years in Guatemala. And so we have our residence there and all that. And so Byron also has his citizenship. He has citizenship there and citizenship here in the United States. Snejana finally got that little card and became a resident of Guatemala. After becoming a resident of Guatemala, they started turning in their paperwork for the adoption process. And then all of a sudden that was accepted. Most of you already know all this. It was accepted. And then they had a bunch of people to come and visit into her home. They were able to, they bought a home there in Guatemala. And they had psychologists, they had sociologists, they had every kind of ologist you can think of come to their home and to investigate them, to look into their history and all the things like that. And then they had to go to what was called formative seminars or formative classes. And it's where Guatemala teaches you to be a good Catholic parent. Okay, because that's what they want you to be. Okay, and so they did all that, jumped through all those hoops and all that stuff. And then two little interesting fellows became available. And then here is what happened. You see Byron and Snishana pictured there with their two little new sons. Jose was 6 when he came into the picture, and he's 7 now. And Alex was 4, going on 40. And now he's 5, going on 50, okay, here in the picture. But then they are a delight. And here they are sitting in their new home. And please keep them in your prayers. But Alex and Jose and Alex, they're both doing really, really well. They'll ask me, how are the boys doing? I always say, the boys are doing great. And they'll say, well, how is Byron? How is Najana? They're hanging in there, okay? They're hanging in there. No, but they're all doing good. We're seeing a lot of growth. And these little guys here, I am so proud of them. They call me Uncle High, and I get to take them out and spoil them and give them ice cream, cookies, and cake, and take them home, and so all the stuff like that. But then that's the new Benitez family. And the Lord willing, next time, hopefully they'll be the one to pass through here, and you'll get an opportunity to meet them face to face. A lot of good things have happened with them. And now, throughout this presentation, you're going to see them every now and then, okay? They like photos, and I like to show them off. And so every time you see them, I just want you to go like this, wow. You know, but that's how I feel every time. But then they ended up needing to get their Guatemala passports. And everything in Guatemala, nothing's easy to do. So went down to get their Guatemalan passports, and you can see here that went okay. They received those passports. From there, they went to the U.S. Embassy a few days later, and you have to go to the U.S. Embassy in order to get a visa. And because they of course, they're citizens of Guatemala. And so, but then it took a little bit, but they did receive their visas. And so, Lord willing, on the 12th of November, I will be going back to Guatemala for some events that's going to be taking place. You'll see that in a few moments in the PowerPoint. But on the 12th of November, we'll all be traveling. And so it will be the first time they'll ever will have been on an airplane. And so it's going to be fun for me. I'm looking forward to it. Byron and Snishana, it's going to be work for them because all I'm going to do is sleep and watch them stress out. You know, but it's going to be fun. But they got their passports, they got their visas. And so, like I say, they'll be coming to the United States. And even though they've been through a whole lot as far as before they were adopted and then coming into the adoption and new lifestyle, new family, new mom, new dad, new all that, they're almost completed their first year of school. And that's another stressful situation. But this was a special event for us and for them because Jose placed 3rd in his entire class. Now that says a lot. And Alex placed 2nd in his entire class. So with all of the stress, all of the drama, all of the things that's going on, these little two are progressing well. So keep Jose, keep Alex in your prayers, and Lord willing, I told you they show up every now and then in this presentation, okay? And they're just little, they're servants. I mean, they're just little boys that love to help, love to serve. And I was trying to unload some paper towels and tissues and all this stuff like that at the church building one day. And Alex came up to him and he says, can I help Uncle? And I said, yeah, you can. I handed him one. And he looked up and he says, I want another one. So I handed him a second one. And he looked up at me and he says, I want another one. And you can see I gave him a third one there and he can just barely hold that. So I decided I would initiate the next question. I said, do you want another one? He says, I want two more. Yeah. And so they are servants. I mean, just good kids, good kids. Now, last time I was here, we had some prayer requests. And I'm going to catch you up on some of those prayer requests, and then we're going to add a couple to those. And this PowerPoint gives you an opportunity to see some faces where you can put it with the names as you pray for these individuals. You might remember Brother Nival, Nival Ramirez. Last time I was here, I told you that he had been diagnosed with hepatitis A and hepatitis C. Okay, the hepatitis A went away. The hepatitis C, it has been a problem. In fact, there's been more than one time where we actually thought we were going to lose Brother Nival. We heard about a medication, and this medication is from India, and it's been dispersed in a few places in the world, but it's from India, and so we found this medication has an 88% success rate in healing hepatitis C. And so we actually got in touch with the brethren there in India. And we're trying to work with them. They're trying to work with us. We could not get the paperwork worked out. We could not get the government to okay it. We couldn't get it done in order to get the medicine from India to Guatemala. Finally, this past year, at the beginning of the year, Brother Nival had one of those bouts of where he was actually bleeding internally. And he was taken to the hospital. And at that point, they actually said, we do not believe he's going to leave the hospital alive. And we were all praying. We were all trying to do everything we could. We found a doctor friend that we knew of, and we were going to move him from this public hospital to a private hospital where he could get some attention, because he wasn't getting any medical attention there. And this doctor called us back just as he was about to get him moved. He said, we can't move him. He said, and the reason we can't move him is because that medication that you've been looking for is actually at this hospital. It's one of the few hospitals in Central America that's gotten a shipment of that medication. And said, so if Anemo can make it through the night, we're going to try to get him in the regime. We're going to try to get him in the medication set up for tomorrow. And the Lord blessed us. He made it through the night. And the few days that he was there, they began to get his health back up. The next week, they got him into the medication. He started taking the medication. He was like 3 weeks on, 2 weeks, two off, and all the stuff like that. After a few months of that, he went back, got his test results. And just like 2 weeks ago, he got his test results, and he is completely free of hepatitis C right now. Yeah, so the Lord has blessed us there. And so here's what we're doing now. What they're doing is they are actually seeing what damage the hepatitis did to his body, which is a lot, and also seeing what damage that medication did to his body to try to get him back up to par. But Anibal is just a servant. He works in the school. He works with us. And we just appreciate him. We appreciate him. Now, these pictures right here, this was when Anibal gained enough strength to walk around in the hospital. This will just show you what type of a servant he is. His wife took these pictures. He didn't even know she was taking the picture, but he was going from bed to bed sharing the gospel. And so he's just a servant of the Lord. He made some contacts there, and now he's looking forward to going back and meeting with these people and actually teaching them the gospel. So please, Anibal, again, thank you for praying for him. And we have seen the results of God answering prayer. Benjamin Montejo, we also call him Benny. I told you about his eyesight. He's also one of the teachers in the school and one of the workers that we work with, and losing his eyesight, and especially at a young age, but then found out about a surgery in China. And he was trying to work on things to get it worked out to where he could actually go to China to have that surgery. The Lord blessed him. Last year, he was able to go to China, have the surgery, and he is seeing a significant increase in his sight. And so the Lord is blessing him there. He's doing some drops, doing some other activities in order to continue this process. So continue to keep Brother Benny, Benjamin Montejo, in your prayers as he's working with his sight. Some of you will remember my sister Gail. She had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so she's pictured here with her husband, Mark, and their little granddaughter, one of their granddaughters, Haley. And but she went through the surgery, went through chemo, went through radiation, ended up having to go through chemo again. And so a week ago, this past Thursday, she went back for a test, and they have diagnosed her now as she's free of the cancer. And so, yes, so that's, again, the Lord's good. The Lord's blessing us, answering our prayers. And she'll be going back now for like a month, you know, and then 6 months, and then a year, and then 3 years, and things like that. So, again, thank you for praying for Gail as she's made this this progress thus far. Now, this is one I want you to add to your prayer request. This is Sister Paulina. And she's the lady standing in front of me. She's the mother of our secretary at our preacher school, but she was diagnosed with breast cancer and diagnosed this year. And she's gone through the radiation. She's gone through some chemo, and just a couple of weeks ago had surgery. And so please add her, Sister Paulina, a very faithful member of the Lord's church there in the congregation close to us, but struggling with this problem of cancer. So again, her name is Paulina, so add her, please, to your prayer request, and we'll keep you posted on how she's doing. I'm gonna ask you also to pray for our family in Linda Vista. Things are going good overall, but you know, when things are going good, the devil always rears up his ugly head, you know? And so we're dealing with a lot of dilemmas right now. We're dealing with some problems in the leadership. We're dealing with problems in various areas. Like I say, we're seeing growth, but again, we're seeing dilemmas. So pray for us as we work through some of those. Just kind of put some faces with some names. This is Brother Walter. He's one of our preachers, and he's actually teaching the adult class at this point. And then this is Brother Byron. Byron and myself, we're in charge of the new converts class. And so you can see we have several new converts, and that class is going well. Brother Benjamin, Benny, is teaching the teen class. And our teen class, I'm talking weekly, is growing. And so right now we can have anywhere sometimes from 25 to 30 teenagers there. And so just really, but again, like I say, the devil's reared his ugly head, and he's trying to cause division. He's trying to cause various things. So keep your family, your distant family at Linda Vista in your prayers as we go through some of the things we're going through. I'm going to talk about the ITL lectureship, and this took place. Okay, how many of you see 2018 up there? That's not what it says. Okay. It actually says March the 22nd through the 26th, 2019. Can you see that? Everybody see that? Okay, good. Okay, now those of you who can see that, see me after this. I'm going to sell you some property. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No, but it actually took place 2019. That's not 2018. We had a great lectureship. Our theme was a walking in the light, a study from the book of 1 John. And we had speakers and visitors from several places to come and be a part of the lectureship. And we normally start on Thursday night. We have our president's banquet. And this year we have some special guests for the banquet, and in fact for the lectureship. This is Joey Booker. He's actually my nephew. And Joey is living in Austin, Texas, and he's pursuing music. He's written a lot of songs and things like that. So maybe one of these days you're going to be hearing his name. And whenever you see him on stage, you're going to see me right behind him, because I'm going to be there collecting the money that he owes me. And so, no, just kidding. But we're praying for his success there. But he came to the lectureship and to the banquet and all, and actually presented some of his songs. And so that went well. Brother Keith Kasarjan, who works with Bear Valley Bible International, was actually there to be our guest speaker at our banquet, and so we appreciated Keith coming. Every year we do what's called the Presidential Honor Awards, and this year we actually honored the teachers from the Linda Vista congregation. And these are just the teachers of our children's classes. And so you can see we have a lot of teachers at Linda Vista. And so we honor them. It's a thankless job sometimes, but we wanted them to know that we appreciate what they're doing. And then this is our class that's studying right now in the school, and you're going to see them again in just a few moments. And normally, you come in on a Thursday. The banquet's Thursday night. Friday, we do an excursion. We take you out to see some of the sights of Guatemala. And this team actually chose to go to a macadamia nut farm. And so we are we're the world's third leading producer of macadamia nuts. And so they went to see how they're made and all the stuff like that, and then ate in a restaurant there. So that was really exciting for them. The lectureship, you can see we had a good attendance. It's held at the Linda Vista building, and from the time it starts to the time it finishes, we have a very good attendance. We have this year we had classes for our ladies, classes for our men, mixed classes, and Sister Hubbard and Sister Hahn both spoke to our ladies, and you can see some of the men's classes taking place, and then again, mixed classes, that's not mixed classes, Sister Hubbard teaching our ladies.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we took this picture because these little guys, they are, everything that's happening is first for them, okay? And whenever we were passing out medallions, everybody, when you come, you get a medal for coming. And the medal actually has your name on the back of it, okay? And everybody, when we get our medals, here's what we do. We put the medal on, and we go like this. Oh, thank you. Nice medal. In fact, one lady's been to so many lectureships, she says, I think I'm going to take my medals and turn them into a paperweight. That makes you feel good, you know, okay? We give them a medal, and the whole time they're walking around in the restaurant showing it to everybody, okay? Because they are so excited to have a medal with their name on it. And then, since it was part of the lectureship, it gives me an opportunity to show you them again also. And so, but there they are, that's Jose and Alex. Also, we have special classes for our children during this lectureship time, and the Lord has really, really blessed the lectureship to grow. Now, here's your first invitation. March the 19th through the 23rd, 2020, we're going to be having our 11th annual lectureship and our 5th graduation from our preacher school. Again, that's March the 19th through the 23rd. How many of you can come March the 19th through the 23rd? Okay, no. Now you can change your mind before I preach this morning if you want to, because I just added 20 minutes on to the lesson. And if you...
What language is the lectureship
in? Everything is in English and Spanish. Okay, we have speakers, of course, that speak English, and they're translated into Spanish, and so you'll be able to listen to them because they're speaking English being translated, and then those of our speakers who are speaking Spanish, we actually translate them into English. So that's no excuse, okay, if you were going to try to use that one. Okay, we've already taken care of that. Now, seriously, March the 19th through the 23rd, you will be spiritually blessed. If you can come, you'll be spiritually fed, you'll be physically fed, you'll enjoy your time. Again, you come in on a Thursday, the banquet's on Thursday night, excursion on Friday, all day Saturday is lectureship, Sunday morning we finish up the lectureship, and then Sunday afternoon we have our graduation. And then Monday or Tuesday, whichever you decide, you return back to the United States. So again, March the 19th through the 23rd. Hope to see some of you there. Here's another place where you can come, and this is with one of our mission teams. We have mission teams, sometimes we'll have them in June, July, and August. Those of your summer months here in Guatemala, your summer months here in the States, our winter months there in Guatemala, but that's the time we have teams. This year, our team decided to focus on our ladies. Normally, the teams will do things like, some will do vacation Bible schools, some will do like a mini seminar, just various things depending on the talents on the team. This year, they actually did a full-blown Ladies' Day for our ladies and from other ladies from other congregations. They had well over 100 ladies attend the lectureship. Sister Candace, from Indianapolis, Indiana, and she's speaking to our ladies. Ashley's translating for her, and we had her from the States, and we also had a sister from Guatemala who was one of the speakers as well. And at this event, here's what the ladies decided. They decided, since we're having a Ladies' Day, we want all of our ladies and our young ladies to be in the Ladies' Day. So we want to ask the men to watch the children. Okay? We did this about 10 years ago. And when they asked, they said, we want to ask the men to watch the children. We had about 60 children or so to watch. And what Byron and I did 10 years ago, we raised our hands and we said, if we don't set the example, no one else is going to follow. So we raised our hand. Some of the other men volunteered 10 years ago. Everything went well until break time, okay? Break time. They gave those kids coffee laced with sugar and cookies. I'm saying, we still had them 2 more hours after break. We were fighting them, trying to get them off the chandeliers, so whenever they said this year, we want the men to watch the children, Byron and I found the first table we could get under to hide. But the men volunteered, and you can see, they had, when I was sitting down, about 30, 35 children, and it went very well. And Byron and I, we stayed in the background, making sure that at break time, there was no coffee and no cookies, okay? We figured these kids don't like carrots, but it went well for the teachers when they got carrots, okay? No, they didn't get carrots, but still, it went well. The men, we appreciate them stepping in there, but the lectureship for the ladies was very, very well done. And then while you're on this team, you can also have an opportunity to teach. Men, you can preach. Just various things you do with the local congregation. Here's Sister Wooden and teaching one of the children's classes, and another one of the children's classes taking place. And this is up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And normally on Sunday, we take you to one of our local hospitals. And you're able to pass out care packages there. You're able to pray with the people. You're able to invite them to worship and all the things like that. And this is a picture of right outside of the hospital. And this is them getting ready to enter the hospital. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, sometimes part of Thursday, you'll be involved in some type of service project, depending on the need at the time. And that can be in an orphanage, that can be at the church building, it can be in a member's home, it can be in a private school, public school, just whatever the need is at the time. This year, they actually decided that they would work in one of our members' homes. And this is Sister Eusebia, and they're going to put a roof on her home. Everything is tin, and she has a bunch of old tin that's leaking. In fact, leaking in her bedroom even while she's trying to sleep at night. And so they decided to take on the challenge. So in the church building, they use it as an area to get the tin and all that stuff ready. And then here they are putting up some posts and a lot of work. If you're talking Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, it's work, but it's well worth it. And so July, the very first Thursday after the 4th of July of 2020, will be one of our teams. And so if you can come at that time, give me your email. I'll put you in touch with Candace. She sets up the teams. Also, we have a team that's coming from Meridian, Idaho, and they'll be coming in June. And so if you would like to join that team, that's another opportunity. We also have a team that might come, it's not confirmed yet, in August. You can join that team. But here at Windsor, you're big enough that you can form your own team. Okay, and you can come and actually see the work and be a part of the work yourself. That's June, July, August, or whenever you can come, we will we'd be glad to have you there. Now, here's another opportunity where you can serve. And I always ask this question because I like to find out, how many of you speak English? At least some form of it. Okay, some guy said, I was in Tennessee one time, he says, I don't speak English, I speak Tennessean. We'll take that too, okay? But this is an opportunity where I would like to see as many of you as possible take advantage of it. It's where you can actually use your native tongue to teach the gospel, okay? Because you are using the Bible to teach English. And you're using the Bible to teach verbs, adverbs, adjectives, and all the stuff like that, okay? You do not have to speak Spanish in this program because your students all speak English. And you are there to help them. You're not there to actually help teach them English. You're there to help them perfect their English because they already have to have a level of conversational English. And so it's an opportunity. We've had it. There they are. We've had it 10 years now. And we've seen some good results from it. And you're going to see one in just a moment. But this normally they come the last 2 weeks of July, the first 2 weeks of August. And each team will stay for 2 weeks. But Blaine Anderson was actually there with us this year in February for the entire month. And then his wife, Terry, joined him for about a week. Blaine did the World English Institute, teaching English using the Bible. And Blaine and Terry both are looking for a full-time place to do mission work once Terry retires. Blaine is already retired, and they want to do mission work in a Spanish-speaking country. And so we're praying that they'll choose to come and work with us in Guatemala. But he was there for the entire month, and then we had our teams to come in July and August. I should say July. In July and August, our first team, five individuals. We like to have six or more teachers. And we had five on the team, and there, two of them are from Connecticut, and one from Tennessee, one from Georgia, and one from Indianapolis. And see, that represents four different kinds of English right there, okay? And so, but yet, they did a super job. It's one-on-one. You'll have one student for about an hour. You'll have seven students a day. Normally, the schedule runs something like this. 9 to 12, you have three students. 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, you take a three-hour lunch break. 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock, you have four more students. So that's how it works. Everything is already laid out for you. The workbooks are very, very professional. All you need to do is to come with the desire that you want to lead someone to Christ, and you want to use the English language to do that. And so you can kind of see the setup here. Normally, it's one student. Every now and then, you might have two students, like Sister Candy here has two students in her class. And here's Brother Benjamin, another Benjamin, teaching Sarah E. And you're going to see Sarah E. in just a moment. This is our second team, and two of them are from Ashland, Oregon, and two of them are from down here in Wyoming. And so, but then they did a super job. The same setup. You're in a very nice hotel. And again, you're there for 2 weeks. And you can see the material that they have. It's already printed up for you. And if you have a desire to want to come and be a part of the program, World English Institute will actually send someone here to Windsor to help you learn the material. And so you don't come down there not knowing what you're doing. They will come and actually train you. And you can see again Sister Peggy with two students. This is Jennifer in the red t-shirt. Jennifer had already studied with our first group, and then now she's into well over a week with the second group. And Jennifer decided, if what I am studying here, if what I'm learning here is right, then I'm lost. And said, I believe I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. And so Benjamin, he came in to the program at this time, and we had him to come and actually just study with her all in Spanish to make sure that she understood everything, and then also giving her a connection with the congregation there. And so she did, and so the hotel allows us to use the pool there. And here's our Brother Jerry taking Jennifer's confession. And then after that, baptizing Jennifer into Christ in the pool there. And a lot of some of the hotel staff now, they used to say, you know, that used to be just a regular pool. It's a holy pool now, okay? And so, but then we said, well, maybe we can baptize some of you. And so here's Jennifer after she was baptized into Christ. And so again, we've seen results. And we're asking you to keep Jennifer in your prayers. You saw Sarah E. earlier. And now Sarah E. was studying English, but Sarah E. has been attending Linda Vista now. And she's also brought her boyfriend, and her boyfriend has three children. And so they have been attending. Sarah E. and her boyfriend both speak fluently in English. But of course, Spanish is their native language. And but then, again, pray for us as we work with Sarah E. Pray for us that we'll be able to teach her the gospel. And I'm hoping maybe the next time we're here, we'll be able to say that she's our sister in Christ. We'll be able to say that David seems to be, he's a big fellow, but he is so gentle. And so we're starting to just really appreciate them. And hopefully they have hearts that's open for the gospel. So So please pray for Sari and pray for David. Now here's where we do most of our work. The rest of it's just a little sideline, okay? But this is where we do most of it, and this is with the preacher school. And here are the full-time staff members. We have five. We have a goal of having 10 students in our full-time program, and we have a goal of having 15 in our Saturday program. We have teachers that actually come from the United States, come from El Salvador, come from Costa Rica, and come from Panama, and they are called short course teachers. We'll have 12 of them a year. They come and teach at the end of our full course quarters. This is Brother Blaine, and Brother Blaine is from Morristown, Tennessee. Brother Gary Fallis is actually from Dallas, Texas. Benjamin is translating for him. And so again, like I say, we have 12 of them per year. So during the 2 years that the students are there, they'll have 24 short course teachers, not counting the teachers, the classes that they have with us. This is Leslie. You saw her earlier when she was pictured with her mother, and she's our full-time secretary. This is Donya Wana. Miss Wana, I don't think she was with us last time I was here, but she's our new cook. And she is not a Christian, but she has started to ask a lot of questions. She's Pentecostal. And so we're hoping to be able to reach her with the gospel. So pray for Donya Wana, that we'll be able to reach her with the gospel. I told you we had two programs of study, a Saturday program, and that's where they can come, dedicate their lives for 3 years. These students already have full-time jobs. Some of them are already workers in the church in various locations, but they want to enhance their Bible knowledge. So they can come every Saturday for 3 years from 2:30 until 6, and at the end of the three-year study, they receive a certificate of their studies. Right now, we have 11 that are studying in this program. This is some of them, just the guys. We also have some ladies that are involved, but they weren't there on the day that the picture was taken. Full-time program, and you can see on one side what we have to offer. You can see on the other side what it takes to be a student. It's like any full-time preacher school here in the United States. It's a very rigorous program. It's where they come and study for 2 years, and we are fully, when it comes to finances and all, we are fully responsible for them. We take care of everything, and if they have children, they can have up to 3 children under the age of 18, where the school takes full responsibility for the children. If we need daycare, we put them in daycare. If they need high school, grammar school, whatever, we take care of that as well. And we have right now studying in this program 4 students. We started out with 7, okay? 7. 7 of the 10 that we wanted to have. And after we went through orientation week, all 7 did fine. On the first day of class, which was a Monday, they received 2 of their 3 classes that they would have for the first 5 weeks. And so that day, they received the syllabus from 2 classes. Monday night, 2 students decided they're going home. Yeah, I got a call late Monday night, and they said, Brother High, can you come to the school? I said, we have 2 students that say they're going home. So I went over there. You know, I'm usually able to talk people into things, you know. I get there, these 2 students are sitting in the classroom with their eyes this big, and they said, we're going home. So we sat and talked and talked and talked, and no, we're going home. And after all was said and done, they went home. And so they said, this is not for us. They had a fear they couldn't do the work. And then 2 months ago, we had another student come in after break, and he decided, I'm going home. And he was well past the first year of his studies into the second half. And we worked and talked with him, and all he would tell us is, it's for personal reasons. And so again, I'm trying to talk to him, trying to find out what's going on, and there's no personal reason. And he finally says, Brother High, it's nothing against you, it's nothing against the staff, it's nothing against my fellow students, it's nothing against, he says, it's personal reasons. But his grandfather was with him, and his aunt was with him. So we figured we would be able to get some information out of them. So when I talked to his grandfather ended up saying, that's why we came, hoping y'all would get some information out of him, because all he's told them is personal reasons as well. So Guillermo was his name, and so we don't know why he quit except for personal reasons. But these 4 individuals, Lord willing, will be graduating in March along with some of our students from our Saturday program, and so, but they're doing well. Again, it's a very difficult program, like anyone here in the States. And they do campaigns. They do four campaigns a year while they're there. And the first year, it's all in Guatemala. And the second year, we try to get them to go, be able to go to other countries. And so here they are on a campaign in Samayac. They did one in La Esperanza. And you can see they're going from door to door, house to house, place to place, setting up Bible studies, doing Bible studies, bearing fruit in Samayac. They actually had two baptisms there and had a couple of baptisms when they were in La Esperanza. And so now this picture here, this is taken in Panama, because just a few weeks ago they went to Panama for their campaign. Normally they have campaign week, then they have break week, which is like vacation week. And so in Panama, since they were going to be there for campaign, that's a long way to send the students. The congregation went ahead and kept them for the second week. And so they were able to actually spend their vacation time there in Panama. So this picture here, they sent me on the telephone, and they're actually on break there in Panama. Now this one here, that's Jonathan. And I'm trying to figure out, what in the world is he doing? And so I wrote him back, sent him a message, and I said, what are you doing in this picture? He says, well, Brother High, you told us to look for Bible studies everywhere. Yeah, I wrote him back, and I said, I hope you fall in. No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. But there they are. Here's what it takes to run the school here, and it's been pretty much the same for the last couple of years or so, and we appreciate so much the congregation here for the part you play in allowing us to do what we do there in Guatemala, and hopefully we're looking forward to our continued partnership together. Some of you have already, and an opportunity where you can adopt a student. You can become a part of that student's life, $50 a month, and this student, once you let us know you want to do that, we send you a bio on the student, so you know birthdays, anniversaries, and all the good stuff like that. And every quarter, you will hear from this student, and you can contact the student if you'd like to do that as well. We will translate anything you send to them if you do not speak Spanish. And so that's a way you can be part of the work. And down here is a little display that we normally have. And on this display, there are some brochures that will tell you how you can be a part of the work on a personal basis, if that be your desire. But there are also just a few ink pens from Mission Guatemala, and there are some 2020 calendars for the refrigerator and all. So please take those items. As you use those items, let it remind you just to pray for us in Guatemala. Let it remind you you have missionaries there and that you'll keep us in your prayers. As I close this morning, you've already seen some additions to the family. But what I want to share with you, just a couple, because I want to place them on your prayer list. And this is one of them. This is Sister Mata. Sister Mata was baptized into Christ. A couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, when I was here, I reported that her son had been baptized into Christ. His name is Oliver. And Oliver had been invited to worship by another friend of his. After a little while, was baptized into Christ. Wanted to get his mother and father involved. Finally, they started coming. And this year, their mother and father both come and we're studying with them. One Sunday, Marta decided, I need to become a Christian. I need to have my sins washed away. And that's good news to hear when someone comes to that conclusion. And so we baptized her into Christ. That very day, her husband, his name is David, he would not even come in to see her be baptized. Okay, the only thing we can figure is we live in a very macho society there in Guatemala. And her making that decision before he made the decision made him look like he wasn't the man of his house. From that day to today, he has turned 100% against the church. Okay, and he is doing everything in his power to keep Mata and to keep Oliver from coming to worship. So please pray for Mata. Mata's been strong. She's been coming. Okay. Oliver, on the other hand, no. His attendance has become sporadic. Why? Because his dad is telling him what a bad son he is. His dad is just discouraging him. And so, but she's a new Christian. Oliver, a Christian for about 2 years now. And but then place them on your prayer list. But then also place David. That we'll be able to reach him with the gospel, and whatever this is that caused him to turn so sour on the church, we'll be able to get past to that. And we have Alan Eboy. He was baptized into Christ. You might remember about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit less than that, we had a young man who was killed. A car hit him and a lot of his family members. But his widow was left in the congregation at Linda Vista. Well, Alan and her this past year were married, and Alan became a Christian, and pray for him because all of this is new for him. He's now, of course, he was a single man, and he married a widow that had two children already. So now he's a dad, now he's a new Christian and all, but he's going well, so please add Alan to your prayer list. Edgar and Jocelyn, both living together, okay? Living together with a little child, but then when they were taught the gospel, they realized that was wrong. And so they're in process now, they've separated, and they're in process of trying to get all their paperwork worked out so they can be married. But then they were baptized into Christ. And so slowly but surely, Edgar and Jocelyn are growing, so please keep them in your prayers. We have, I didn't talk to you about the congregation, the church plant. So we have four church plants right now. And they've sent reports in. Francisco sent this one just recently where they baptized a young lady there. They're in Alta Verde Paz. So keep the new church plants in your prayers. And then the last thing, we have the Future Preachers Camp. That's November the 3rd through the 10th. What's something you notice about that? It's in the future. And the reason is, it was supposed to take place back in June. And it was supposed to take place during our spring break. Okay, that's when we normally have it. It's gonna be our sixth one. The government decided to cancel spring break this year. Yeah, and they don't have to give a reason. They just say, no, you're not having it. So when they have made that announcement, we started scrambling around because we had already reserved a camp, we had already done all the stuff like that. And when you put money down on stuff, you don't get money back. The Lord really blessed us. We were able to get some money back on things. We were able to move the camp. We moved the camp to November the 3rd, which has really put a problem into our travels as well, because we're having to travel and then go back for the camp and then start traveling again. But yet, the November and December, those are our summer months. And those are the months when the kids are on their summer break. And so we want to have 50 kids. So we believe we'll have the 50 kids this year. But November the 3rd to the 10th will be the camp. Now, here's what's kind of funny about this. Spring break got canceled. We moved everything to November. Everything. The camp date, everything to November. The Friday before we were supposed to have spring break, guess what the government decided? We're going to have spring break. Yeah. They sent out a message. And the message just said, have spring break. You've got teachers that are scrambling around, but they had no choice. Everything had to close down. But we had already moved everything to November and couldn't get things straightened out in 2 days. So since it's November the 3rd through November the 10th, the next slide will tell you everything that I have to say about our sixth annual Future Preachers Camp. And that's absolutely nothing right now. And so it's going to take place in a few weeks. Pray for that. And Lord willing, when we're here again, we're going to be able to share with you how well the Future Preachers Camp went. Any questions about the work in Guatemala? No questions. You've seen the Lord has been good to us. And we're seeing a lot of growth. And again, I encourage you, if at all possible, come to Guatemala. Come and see the work. Come and be a part of the work. Maybe you're in a situation, job, age, or whatever, where you feel, I can't do that. Well, maybe there's someone here who would like to, and they need your help doing it. Then help somebody. Help somebody come. But come to Guatemala and see the work firsthand. God bless you. Looking forward to being with you in the worship service and the 3 hours that I already have for the sermon. And so if some of you want to come up and tell me that you're coming, I will deduct some time from the sermon. But otherwise, the time is mine. Okay. God bless you. Looking forward to being with you in the worship assembly.